Okay. So, my name is Prince. Everybody say hello, Prince. Lovely, lovely. So this seminar is called Don't Bother Bring Your CV. And it is basically, we're going to be looking at this whole idea of what it means to serve God and be used by God and to do those two things. You guys up for it? Yes, okay. So I thought I'd start like this. So I I'm not going to do that. All right. I spent a lot of time in my youth as a rapper. That's like what I did professionally for my job. And I thought I'd do a little something with you guys. Is that okay? You fancy it? All right, okay. What we're going to do is does anybody beatbox in here? Oh, come on. My son has got his hands up. He's like, yes, me, this is my moment. Ah, woohoo. All right, give him a little round of applause. Okay, so this is Micah, and Micah's going to do a little beatbox, and this is how it's going to work, okay? I'm going to rhyme a line, okay? And at the end of the line, you're going to fill it in with the word that makes the line rhyme, plus you have to do it in time. You follow? There's a guy who just went, this is, oh, it's too much, no. Okay, we're going to go with girls first, okay? Four lines, and then we're going to go with the guys, okay? Can I get a beat, Micah? Have we got a second mic? Sorry, I know I said we didn't need a second mic when you asked me earlier if we needed a second mic. But here I am saying, can I have a second mic? Sorry, guys. No, you can't change it. That's too fast. It's too much. Okay, here we go. We'll just wait for the mic. Okay, ladies, are you ready? Oh, gosh. Ladies, are you ready? All right, okay. A little bit slower. Okay, ladies, let me get a head nod. Okay, the opposite of queen is... The opposite of queen is... When I got married, I got a wedding. When I got married, I got a wedding. If this was Sound of Music, well, then I'd have to... If this was Sound of Music, well, then I'd have to... Yeah, if I had a gold chain, then I'd have some... If I had a gold chain down, I'd have some... Not bad. 4 out of 4. Well done, ladies. Well done. Give yourselves a round of applause. All right, fellas. Don't let me down. Fellas, do not let me... I'm looking at you particularly. You look like you're going to let me down. All right. Okay, here we go. Let me get that beat back. Okay, here we go. Okay. Here we go. Fellas, you ready, yeah? Okay. The opposite of south is... The opposite of south is... If I was a jockey, then I'd ride a... If I was a jockey, then I'd ride a... Yo, when I eat my chips, I like to dip them in. When I eat my chips, I like to dip them in. Yo, if I was a Jedi Knight, then I'd use the... If I was a Jedi Knight, then I'd use the... Not bad. I'm impressed. Yeah. Normally, some smart aleck chips in with lightsaber, which doesn't rhyme with anything. Okay. Should we go round three? What do you reckon?
Okay.
No, we're gonna stop there. Give Rap Micah a round of applause. Give yourselves a round of applause. Well done. Thank you, Micah. Just leave it there. All right, now let's get to actually what we came to talk about. So... Today's session is going to be a little bit interactive. Hopefully you guys will be up for getting involved. I guess the thing is this. If I was to ask you who is one of your giants of faith, does that question make sense to you? Like, when I talk about giants of faith, I guess who are the people who you would say, oh, this person is like really an amazing believer or an amazing Christian, or this is the kind of person that I think like I look up to as far as like the Bible or faith is concerned. What I'd like you to do is get into a little group, maybe 4 or 5, and just for a few minutes, I'd like you to discuss who you would say is your giant of faith. Okay, and also I'd like you to talk about what kind of qualities you think that they have that make them so important to you. Do you get it? Follow? 3 minutes. Go. Okay. I'm hearing lots of great discussion. Okay, so I'd like to hear from you guys. So who would you say is one of your giants of faith, and what kind of qualities do they possess? I'd love to hear some of what has been said. Try not to all respond at once because it's overwhelming. Daniel, and what qualities? Why would you say Daniel? Okay. Amazing. So she's saying Daniel, because of his unwavering faith and his ultimate belief that God would always save him. Amazing. Thank you. Okay, I think there was a hand up over here. Fantastic. So a contemporary one, Robbie Dawkins, seems to just have this unshaking trust in God and this fearlessness. Okay, thank you. Yes? Sorry. Who? Hannah in the Bible? Right. So Hannah just had this faith in God that he would come through for her. Yeah, just one more maybe. Who was yours? Esther. Esther, okay. And what? Why? Esther, because she was willing to risk her life for others. Amazing. So when I think of, I guess, giants in the faith, like for me, the Bible is full of them, isn't it? You know, I think of people like David, who was like one of the greatest kings of Israel, and Samson, who was a powerful judge. And I think of Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. I think of Moses, who delivered, who God used to deliver the Israel out of Egypt. I guess when I think a little bit more in terms of more contemporary, I might think of Mother Teresa or Martin Luther King, these characters who have done just incredible things for God. But I guess the challenge is whether we believe that God could use us. And so often we have this desire or this hope or this thought, and I'd imagine you're here today because you have a desire or a hope that God would use you and that God would do something in and through you. I wonder if you believe if God could use you. I want a show of hands, actually. If you feel like, I think God could use me to do something, put your hands up. Yeah. Okay, yeah, some people are like, you know, maybe on a bad day, possibly. Okay, so what I'd like you to do is this, and this is a personal piece of reflection, okay? If I asked you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how qualified you feel you are to serve God, right? So if you were to put a 1, you'd be like, no chance, can't help him. It's not his day, maybe another day. If you feel like, yep, I'm that guy, I'm that girl, I'm a boss, give yourself a 10, okay? So score yourself on a 1 to 10 as to like how qualified, how able, how prepared, how qualified, I said that twice, you are to serve God. So you could do it in your head or do it on a piece of paper. I'd love you to, if you can, write it down because we're going to reflect on this a little bit. Yeah, so a number 1 to 10. Everybody should have either in your head or on a piece of paper. Okay, now what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to briefly write down what qualities you feel you are missing. Like what is it? Like if you were to give yourself a 5, what is it that you think that you need that would make you a 7? Right? If you gave yourself a 1, what is it you think you would need to get to a 3 or an 8 or a 9 or a 10? What is it that you feel you are missing? What qualities do you lack? Or what things would you say prohibit you from feeling closer to a 10? Just write, not in detail, just bullet points. And this is really personal, so basically mind your own business. Just take a moment to write some things down. I'll just give a moment more. I want you to really, really think about it. What is it? Like, What is it that you feel like? Is it stuff that is in your life, stuff that you do? Is it maybe stuff that you don't do? Is it stuff that you know, stuff that you don't know? Is it comparison? Is it when you compare yourself maybe to other, maybe that's the things, your kind of parameters for disqualification are maybe related to comparing yourself to other people or big Bible characters that you kind of think, oh, well, they did this and I don't do that, da 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 da. So just write down a few things, really have a think about it. Okay. Right, I think most people seem to nearly be stopped. Okay, what we're going to do is we are going to play a little game, okay? And I actually have prizes for the first, 10 people to win. We are going to play bingo. This is basically, I've called it Bible Giants Bingo, right? And on your sheet, if you don't have one, there's a few here. Otherwise, you can work in a team. If you need one, come and get one. Otherwise, you can work in a team of two or three. And also, earlier on, my son Micah handed out pieces of paper with names on them. If you have a piece of paper with a name on it, then you need to basically, when we start this game, you kind of need to hold it up whilst you're also playing the game, okay? Because on the pieces of paper with the names, they have the names that relate to the different characters in our Bible bingo game. So there's 20 squares on the Bible bingo, and each square describes a characteristic or something about one of our Bible giants, okay? Does this make sense? I feel like this isn't making sense. Nod at me if this makes sense. Okay, good, that's good. Okay, so I'm going to give you 5 minutes, and when you have got all of the names right, shout bingo and come and speak to me and get a prize. Literally, I've got 10 of them, okay? Go. You will have to stand up to play this game. Yes. So there's people with names that are holding up names. The names relate to the squares, okay? So if you are unsure, walk around a square and it'll give you a hint. Those of you who are Bible scholars might not need any hints. When you've got all 20, head over and okay, we're looking for some Bible scholars out here. Okay, I've not got anybody bingo. I've not got any bingos yet. If you're unsure, you need to get up and have a look at some of the names that are being held up. They'll give you clues. Oh, yes, we have one. We have one. High five. Well done. Oh, keep this. You might want to speak to her because she knows all the answers. You can help each other. So if you've got some that are missing, ask somebody who's got them. Oh, let's have a look. Yeah. Okay, we have another one. Well done. Another one? Yeah.
Thank you.
No worries. Oh, let's have a look. You hold on to them and you grab a hold of them. Let's have a look. Oh.
You're doing a great job.
Amazing, yes.
Have we got it right?
Yeah.
Mine okay?
Yeah. Okay, hold on.
That's yours, I think.
Amazing. Yes, amazing, this lady. Yeah, whose is this one? I saw most of yours. Yours is good. Yours is good. And yours is good. Okay, okay. I think... How many are left?
Six.
Okay, there's six left. Okay. Okay. All right, we're going to stop there. We have one or two. I do have one or two more. So if you happen to have got it right, come and see me at the end. Okay, so here's the thing, right? So often when we think of people in the Bible, we look at them and we think, oh my goodness, these guys were amazing, never did anything wrong. They were just perfect people of faith who were just awesome. But the truth is that throughout the Bible, many of the people who we consider to be giants of the faith had flaws. They had things that they went through or things that they did that we would think would maybe disqualify them. And what we're going to do is we're very quickly going to look through that list. And what I want you to do is this. As you look through that list, think about what the things are that you think disqualify you and how those things might not actually be relevant. Okay? So just really quickly, Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. That's another story. Joseph was abused. Moses was a stuttering criminal. Samson was promiscuous. Gideon was doubtful. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah was depressed. David had an affair and committed murder. Elijah was mentally unbalanced and suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. When God called Jonah, Jonah ran away. Naomi was an old widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter betrayed Jesus. The disciples fell asleep. Martha was a warrior. The Samaritan woman had multiple divorces. Zacchaeus was greedy. Paul was ingrained in another religion and killed lots of criminals, aka Saul. Timothy was too young and had ulcers. And Lazarus was dead. If you feel like you are disqualified from serving God, then you are in good company. Because so many of the people that we would consider to be giants of the faith were people who had significant cause to be disqualified. But yet, they were people who God used incredibly. So, there's a couple of things that I want to encourage you with. And the first is this, that God loves to use the young. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Don't let anybody look down on you because you are young." This was written to Timothy, who was a young leader of a church. And it was written to him to encourage him to be an example to all of the church by the way that he lived, by the way that he acted, and to be bold and courageous in his leadership. God loves to use young people to do incredible things, and he has done that throughout history. God loves to use the young. God called David whilst he was really young. God called Samuel, who was a prophet, who was an amazing prophet in the Old Testament. God called him whilst he was young, whilst he was still in his teens. God loves to use young people to do incredible things. Don't let anybody disqualify you because of your age. The second thing is this. God loves to use the weak and unqualified. You know, that list of names that we just played through on this bingo game. People who, in the world's eyes, would be disqualified. It's so easy for us to disqualify ourselves or for others to disqualify us based on the things that we do, based on our failures, on our shortcomings, on the things that we get wrong or the things that we don't know. But listen, God loves to use unqualified people. 1 Corinthians 1:27, God chooses the foolish things of this world to shame the wise, the weak things of this world to shame the strong. You don't have to be like a superhero for God to use you. You don't have to know it all. You don't have to be like fasting for 30 days in a row and be able to recite every book of the Bible and be able to tell every Bible story and have gone to Bible school and understand theology and be able to talk about the history of hermeneutics and eschatology. You don't need to have any of that stuff for God to use you. He loves to use unqualified people. This is what God says to, I think it was the Apostle Paul. He says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness." And the third thing is this, that God looks for availability. God is looking for people who will say, "God, would you please use me?" He's looking for people who would say, "God, would you please use me?" 2 Chronicles 6:19 says, "The eyes of the Lord search the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." What does that mean? It means God is looking for people who will say, "God, I've not got it all together. I've not got everything that I need, but I know that I want you to use me. I know that I want to serve you. I know that I want to do something for you. God, would you please use me?" That's what God is looking for. He's looking for hearts that are committed to doing his will. Not for people that are perfect. Not for people who know it all or have got it together. I love, in an appropriate way, this young lady who some of you might be familiar with. Her name is Greta Thunberg. She is a Swedish climate activist. And she gave this incredible speech that I'd love you to, if you've not, how many of you have seen this before? Some of you, okay. If you've not seen it, you are about to be hopefully amazed. Here we go.
We are going to end today with the words of 15-year-old Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg, who addressed the UN plenary session last night.
My name is Greta Thunberg. I am 15 years old, and I'm from Sweden. I speak on behalf of Climate Justice Now. Many people say that Sweden is just a small country, and it doesn't matter what we do. But I've learned that you are never too small to make a difference. And if a few children can get headlines all over the world just by not going to school, then imagine what we could all do together if we really wanted to. But to do that, we have to speak clearly, no matter how uncomfortable that may be. You only speak of green, eternal economic growth because you are too scared of being unpopular. You only talk about moving forward with the same bad ideas that got us into this mess, even when the only sensible thing to do is pull the emergency brake. You are not mature enough to tell it like it is. Even that burden you leave to us children. But I don't care about being popular. I care about climate justice and a living planet. Our civilization is being sacrificed for the opportunity of a very small number of people to continue making enormous amounts of money. Our biosphere is being sacrificed so that rich people in countries like mine can live in luxury. It is the sufferings of the many which pay for the luxuries of the few. The year 2078, I will celebrate my 75th birthday. If I have children, maybe they will spend that day with me. Maybe they will ask me about you. Maybe they will ask why you didn't do anything while there still was time to act. You say you love your children above all else, and yet you are stealing their future in front of their very eyes. Until you start focusing on what needs to be done rather than what is politically possible, there is no hope. We cannot solve a crisis without treating it as a crisis. We need to keep the fossil fuels in the ground, and we need to focus on equity. And if solutions within this system are so impossible to find, then maybe we should change the system itself. We have not come here to beg world leaders to care. You have ignored us in the past, and you will ignore us again. We have run out of excuses and we are running out of time. We have come here to let you know that change is coming, whether you like it or not. The real power belongs to the people. Thank you.
You've just been...
I saw that speech and I found it so incredibly inspiring, because here's this little 14-year-old girl, well, 14 at the time, I think she's 16 now, 14-year-old girl speaking in front of this huge audience of very important people, and she's just so direct and so frank and so honest. And it just occurred to me that this is a young lady who really knows what she wants to do, who is passionate about it and recognizes that she has power in her words. I want to encourage you that God loves to use young people. And God loves to use the people who others might look at and think, you are not right for the job, or you are not worthy, or you are not able. This is part of my own story, which I'm going to really quickly race through. So this is me. That's me on a stage in Slovakia. And because as I get older, I'm getting more and more handsome, I've put an arrow so that you can see that's me on the stage, okay? There's me in the background of that. That's my band played the Jazz Cafe. I started a band when I was like 14 years old, because that's something that I really wanted to do. And that's me. I don't know if any of you guys know the guy in the middle, but we played a show and he was our support act. He's a guy called Tiny Temper. And that's a show in Slovakia. I won't go into that. It's another day. But the thing is, for me, life didn't start amazingly on stages. There was no expectation that I would do music or that I would do well. There was not a musical bone in my body growing up. This guy here is my, he's my great-grandfather, no, he's my grandfather. He had a daughter who's this lady, who's my mum. And one day, a guy walked into my grandfather's office, which was this guy. He basically saw my granddad's daughter and was like, I'll have that. So the two of them ended up getting married, and they were really happy in our native country, which is Ghana, and then they had three little children. The one in the middle is me. I know, handsome. Now, if you look very closely at the footwear in this picture, it will highlight to you that there were problems on the way, okay? I don't know why my parents chose to dress me in girl's shoes. But a few years later, this guy came on the scene. He was a guy called General Rawlings, and he was the leader of the military at the time. And he decided, with a bunch of other people, that he was going to overthrow the government. My dad worked for the government, and so my mum and dad packed up all of the stuff that they had. That wasn't our house, but we lived in a place like that. We moved from our native Ghana to this lovely place. We arrived here in the UK, and we were quite similar to these people. We were refugees. We had no right to be here, no real right to be here. We had no possessions. We had no kind of direction in life. But my parents set about trying to create a life for me and my, at the time, three brothers, and they went on to have two other children. Fast forward 10 years and disaster strikes, and my mum gets a phone call basically telling her that her husband is dead. So here she is, a foreigner in a foreign land, literally an immigrant. I think with five children to raise, I think that you could say that there were some challenges ahead. So this is my story. I'm a second generation immigrant. I had two parents with no qualifications in the UK. I'm one of five brothers, a single parent family, and I grew up in council housing. I guess I say this because when I thought, thinking about my story as a child, as a young man, it would be very easy to say, he will never achieve anything. He will never amount to anything. But God had a different purpose, but God had a different plan. And I think that what I really want to share with you is this idea, not of like, not about celebrity or superstardom or making music, but this simple idea that when God has a purpose and God has a plan for your life, which he does, nothing can change. Nothing can set that back. You can't be disqualified from doing the things that God has planned and called for you to do. But what you do need to do is be willing to say, God, I'm available to you. The things that you might look at and think disqualify you from achieving the things that God wants to do in your life are not really true of what God thinks and how God feels. I love, and I want to finish with this, there's a scripture in the Bible in Jeremiah 29:11. And it's, if you've not familiar with it, please do write it down. It's Jeremiah 29:11. And basically the scripture says, this is God speaking, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. They are plans to give you a future and a hope." God wants to use you, and God will use you. And what he requires, what he desires from each of us, is that we will make ourselves available. So in this moment, I just want you to thinking about what I've just talked about, what I've said. You remember you wrote down a list of things that you felt might disqualify you from serving God, yeah? Now, I just want you to take a look at that list. Thinking about the things that are human bingo characteristics, yeah? Our giants of the Bible bingo characteristics, all the things that you saw there. Thinking about what you've seen from Greta Thunberg. Thinking about the story that I've just told you about my own growing up and my own life. I want you to look again at that list of things that you think disqualify you. And in this moment, I'd like you to cross everything off that you think that has been challenged by what you have seen and what you have learned and what you've heard in the last 10, 15 minutes. Each thing, just have a look at each thing that you've written. And if you think that if you think it's still true, then leave it on. But if you think that in light of what you've seen and heard, that some of it isn't true, I want you to literally put a line through it. And in putting a line through it, I want you to, it's a moment of saying, God, that I am actually more available to you. I'm crossing off the things that I think hold me back. I'm crossing off the things that I think make me not suitable. Literally, put a line through them. And then the final thing that I want you to do is this. I want you to ask yourself, when we talked earlier, I asked you to give yourself a number of 1 to 10 as to how suitable you were. I want you to just reevaluate based on maybe the things that you've crossed off, maybe the things that you've heard. If I was to ask you again, I hope that that number would be higher than the first one. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you so much that you call the available, that you're looking not for ability, but for availability. Father, thank you that you love us and that you love us not for who we are or what we can do, but you love us not for what we can do, but you love us for who we are. You love us because you love us because you love us, and you love us because we are your children and that you have called us your own. And Father, I pray for each one here who feels like they are inhibited from serving you, or who feels like there's things that hold them back or stop them, or who feels like they're not qualified. I pray that in this moment you would begin to dismantle and break down those thoughts and negative beliefs. And Lord, that you would build a confidence and a deep belief that they can be used by you. And Lord, I pray that over the course of the next 2-3 days whilst they're here at Soul Survivor, that you would begin to more and more reveal how and what, Father, and that you would cause hearts to be lifted and raised and filled with boldness and courage to say, here I am, God, would you please use me? I really want to encourage you over the next couple of days to be saying that to God, to be saying, God, here I am, use me. I want to encourage you to be bold, to go through the tool shed, have a look at the different mission opportunities, engagement opportunities. Have a think where it is that you suspect or have a feeling that God might be calling you. And don't let the things that you have maybe written down in the past as disqualifying characteristics, don't let them hold you back from serving God as you go forward. Thank you so much. I hope this seminar has been helpful. And if you finish that sheet and would like to grab one of these, I think we have a few left. Thanks so much.